How long gone? Back on our bullshit. An overcast day in Los Angeles. Bullshit. You know, we're still recovering from all the reporting of the Chloe Sevigny closet sale.
Yeah.
Put on by a former guest and friend of the show, Liana.
Oh, really? She curated that trunk show?
I think Liana.
I guess that's a trunk festival, right?
Well, there's no trunks involved. It's what I've decided, though, is that
metaphorically speaking,
Liana, Chloe, Mr. Mickey, there are some other people involved in the sale. I think because this is the peak, that this means to all you Instagram girlies living in Greenpoint, Echo Park, Silver Lake, the sale is over. The sale is done. No more sales can happen. Chloe Sevigny has done the sale to end sales. The trend must die. What do you think about that, Jason? Do you think that's fair?
No. Obviously, once the liquidation is complete, once all the liquid has been drained from the closet balls, then you would think that it's done, but now it just enters its second phase of life in the afterlife on Depop, on The Real Real, on, you know, I'm going to put most of my stuff up on Sotheby's. I got some pretty high dollar pieces. You have already sort of guest bid on a couple of them already. You've kind of shown interest. So
I didn't know.
This is just the first stage.
I thought, I see what you're saying. So I thought maybe this could be the end of this terrible trend because this is the best it could ever be executed. The highest quality product, a living icon, the OG New York It Girl. But you're saying that this is merely a kickoff to an even longer.
Put yourself in the shoes of other excellence. So let's take, for example, the Just Like Heaven Festival. Wow, what an amazing festival. Guess what happened? It was so good. Let's do it next year.
Chloe
only has so many clothes, obviously, and she gets sent a lot of free stuff. You and I get a lot of free stuff sent. Just imagine what her fucking, her closet in her guest bedroom is. It's fucking crazy full of stuff. So, you know, I think of it as just like another, like Coachella happens, let's do Stagecoach, let's do this one, let's do the gospel.
So now there's going to be, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good equation and a good line to draw.
And it'll keep growing too. So next year it'll be like, all right, Chloe Sevigny, she's headlining Saturday. Sunday, it's going to be Leighton Meester's opening. Leighton, she's not going to headline, but Leighton will open. There's some good stuff in there.
So we're going to get some, so it can be some lower tier editors from lesser publications and we will allow women with under 15,000 followers and no blue check to participate as long as they have the right kind of slip dresses and shoes.
The Chloe sunglasses have to be real.
Yeah. I think looking at it in a music festival lens is smart and only something that them jeans could bring to the table.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that scaling a business, there's so many things, you know, not only is it difficult, but you have to sacrifice a lot for the initial vision.
Oh, yeah. And imagine scaling a business and planting two trees for every product you sold in the Brazilian rainforest. I mean, can you imagine how much that complicates things? But this is what we have to do. This is what we have to do. And
three episodes of a podcast a week. You know, the list goes on. I don't want to say that I'm more of a hero than them, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say I'm a frontline worker, but you could say that. I was able to read Nomi Fry's Philip Plein profile, one of your favorite designers.
I have this article saved. Philip Plein, he was the king when we went to Vegas and checked out, you know, the Restaurant Row of fashion. Philip had his stink all over it, didn't he?
Big Philly style feels like he feels like the king of Las Vegas, even though he lives in Switzerland for tax purposes.
But his house in LA is great.
His house in LA is a mansion, but her story is so good because it's like this guy obviously has it figured out because he's just like, fuck it. All these fashion people are like serious nerds. I just want to have fun and like party with Tommy Lee and Snoop Dogg and make $100 million. And I respect him now after reading the story.
What's the Fear of God guy's name again?
Jerry Lorenzo.
He's like if Jerry Lorenzo had fun.
It's like if Jerry Lorenzo had ever done coke. It's kind of what. But it feels like, of course, the clothes are obnoxious and aesthetically abusive to our eyes.
But Philip knows it.
Yeah, Philip knows it. Philip doesn't care. And I think that he also his start, because he was scouted as a model and he worked in nightclubs. He made
wow,
a
same. He I ma- guess I should read this article.
He made a
go ahead.
He was like he had the idea to make a high end dog bed, and that was his original million. That's how he got his original.
Wait,
million.
He had that idea and it worked.
Yeah, it worked. That's the whole thing.
Wow.
So the OG's been grinding for a while.
Oh, okay.
And I found the whole story. I found him to be kind of more endearing than I thought, because he's just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. I just like to have fun and do this shit and get rich. And like, I don't care.
Well,
and it's refreshing.
Chateau Marmont bought my first line, and that's kind of where things started taking off.
But I found him to be more of a charming character than anyone could ever imagine based on the kind of hostility of his design sensibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was just, I don't know. It's definitely worth, if I mean, because I think we're all aware of Philip Pline, and it has this like stink on it because it looks like kind of like Von Dutch or whatever.
It looks like Creative Wreck high tops that Steve Aoki wore in 2008, but add like $7,000 in Swarovski crystals to it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's an obnoxious shoe, and it, like all of his clothes are, but there is an element of campy fun to it where it's just like, yeah, I'm awful. I also fly private.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I haven't been on a commercial flight in 10
years.
Do you want
to suck or not?
Are you sucking or not? But the
are you sucking or not? That's what Philly said. And also,
is you sucking?
Yeah,
but
yeah, you PP. That ain't my initials, honey. Get the PP now. And now that we have our in with friend of the show, Nomi Fry, it's only a matter of time until PP himself comes on the pod, right?
You know? Yeah, I mean, we got it. Yeah, I was texting Nomi earlier, and she was at Via Carota with Jonah Weiner and Issy Wood, and I'm just like, damn, I'm feeling extremely left out. Like that's a how long gone Mount Rushmore lunch.
Yeah, that's my take me back vacation selfie right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and she said De Niro was there as well, and I told her to say hi to Bobby for me because I haven't seen him in a while. So
in the middle of his Pacino De Niro, who was hotter in 1981
yeah,
Twitter discourse.
He's eating pasta at noon with Nomi, which is, I mean, where else can you unpack something like that?
I love New York. You got to get back to New York, bro. It sounds like it's really pumping right now.
But this mention of Snoop Dogg in this Philip Pline article, and Snoop Dogg also DJ'd the Chanel show. Is Snoop Dogg, how on earth can Snoop Dogg DJ the Chanel show and also perform at Philip Pline's, you know, house in front of a sneaker the size of a car, but it's actually made of cake, which you'll read in the article.
I'll tell you how. Chanel needs to fucking contact me for their talent booking and their, I don't know, their entertainment curation, because we should not be booking Snoop. Philip Pline booking Snoop to DJ some mansion party.
Makes sense.
Yes. It's
perfect.
1,000% home run. But, I mean, Chanel should have had Jenny from Blackpink acoustic unplugged set. She does a couple Bowie covers. You know, and then, wow, front page of WWD, Rory Satran's doing an expose on it. But a Snoop Dogg DJ set. For the, you know, I've seen him at a Levi's party doing that. Like, this is Chanel, bitch.
He'll do anything, and I respect it because he's just trying to get his money up. But the brands have to do better. But
he's
that,
also like 60 years old and like smoked himself goofy, and he's like a grandpa. You know, like what's going on here?
He'd be goofy. I also had time this morning to read Sam Hines' story on the Dare, which is a phenomenon I didn't really understand.
Okay,
and something I also had kind of written off as just kind of LCD sound system 15 years later. Guy looks like Paul Weller, which is he looks very cool, which I respect.
Yeah, he's hot.
But then I kind of, after reading the story, he was a substitute teacher, which is also sick. He was literally a substitute teacher. Mm-hmm. I think that I've come around. I don't need to listen to the music. I don't care, but I've come around and I think it's kind of cool that this guy is just kind of like having fun and doing his thing, and it's kind of refreshing.
I never thought that the dare would be white boy Abbott Elementary, but here we are.
Yeah, no, here we are. But I was just like, maybe I was thinking about this too hard, and I also think that Dime Square as a construct, as a made up construct by the New York Times,
by Little Tobacco,
is kind of like, I'm glad that I've come to the point where I'm glad that some hottie and his drum machine has been the guy to profit off of this. Somebody had to get a big record deal out of something like this. And I'm glad that it happened. I'm glad that this guy's a millionaire from just kind of holding it down and being in the right place at the right time and having a couple songs.
Yeah, if you guys don't take this check, I will. So just,
yeah.
Anyone want it? No, I'm good. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, it's just like it's the natural kind of progression of things where it's like, yeah, this was actually a meaningless scene of people smoking cigarettes and reading a newspaper near a restaurant that serves acai. But the fact that a guy that lives in East Williamsburg looks like Paul Weller and made a song that sounds like LCD Sound System is the one getting rich off of it, it feels poetic to me.
Yeah. I mean, but it kind of makes you wonder, you know, we're taking a band that's, you know, we're in the seventh wave of the bands.
Yeah.
And it really is very reminiscent of it's like the Strokes cosplay where you watch or you read, you know, Welcome to the Bathroom. What's it called again?
Meet me in the bathroom.
Sorry. Welcome to my bathroom. You know, you watch that and then it's like, man, remember that time when, like, you know, the Strokes would play this little tiny venue in the Village and all, you know, and they see it and it looks like an amazing pure time and we're kind of recreating it. Unfortunately, the music for me is a little more Beastie Boys than LCD, but
yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
actually,
it ain't bad.
It feels very New York though, which I think that we forget.
It's very New York.
But I think we forget that is still extremely marketable in a global way.
Yeah. I mean, if I was 21, I'd be all over it. I'm just too old and done to enjoy it.
I just love that Home Sweet Home, that nasty dump, plays such a part in the story. And I just can't believe that's the real star, is that place is still pumping.
Yeah, man.
And has never gone away. So God bless New York. God bless nightlife.
yeah.
You know, I've been both of those stories were great and fun to read.
I plan on listening to them as I do my little chores sometime in the next week.
I went to Osteria Mozza last night.
Okay.
And man,
been a while.
I tell you what, bro, that shit is smacking. So good. It's so fucking good. And I'm like, why do I go to these new restaurants? Why do I go to these obnoxious places where I can go to an expensive restaurant that is a 7-minute drive away, have a delicious meal that costs too much, and leave satisfied? You know what? It's a great institution, and I just wanted to say that.
Okay. What was like an item that really just knocked your little dick loose?
There was a...
Well, first of all, was Nancy at the bar, at the mozzarella bar, touching tables or not so much?
I didn't see Nancy. I thought she would come out and kind of kiss Al Wilmot's ring, but unfortunately, you know, Monday night, she might be with the family.
You guys want another Amaro? it's like from Italy.
Well, there was a I had an amazing, amazing sea bass, delicious, perfectly cooked. But obviously the mozzarella kind of tasting is the movement, with multiple spreads, Calabrian chili, pesto, some nice, perfectly done toast points, for you know. But it's just, I guess what
just
I'm
just how the nonnas used to make.
It's nice, and there's like a shaved Brussels sprouts with almonds and mint that is.
I've had, that is good.
Like I could eat a pile of that. Like that shit is A+. But yeah, I don't know. It was just
this
nice.
Motherfucker got a Brussels sprout salad and said I could eat that off a flip flop.
I really could put that on the rainbow sandal. I'm pulling out my fork. It ain't nothing.
God damn it.
But yeah, it was just delicious, and I was just like, damn, this is so good. And like, I haven't been here in a long time, and it's still absolutely packed. Every table is booming.
So you're happy to get a win, is what you're saying?
I'm happy to get a W. I mean, we've had Bedia in Philadelphia was great. Publican in Chicago was great. We've had some W's lately as far as the dining goes.
I'm going to go hit Rafi's tonight. Oh, with Oberg,
you're back in Glendale. You got to let him know that the king is home.
It feels so good to be back in Glendale. I went to the gym. I did an assault bike. I pumped it up.
Let's go.
I did a sauna, cold shower. I used somebody else's lotion. It was, and I was really feeling kind of out of sorts and a little stressed out or a little just something. And I didn't realize that all I needed to do is just kind of do a little reset and go to the gym and do my Glendale things. And now I'm good.
Yeah, man. That's honestly, that's all it takes.
I need to wave at some local police officers just to set my mind right, you know?
I see local 12. I beep twice and I wave. That's Jason's motto.
Go Blue. Keep it up.
Yeah, I did the same thing yesterday, kind of. I went to backyard bowls. I went to pause for a little infrared. You know, I had to get right with God.
I just love that your West Hollywood sauna place is called pause.
It's almost like they did it on purpose. It's so good. It's too good. It's too good. And you know, today we were able to announce something very exciting. We're going to the motherland. We're going to Australia.
Yeah, we're going to Melbourne, and we do need to work on our accents because unfortunately our Australian is just New Zealand, or at least mine is.
Yeah, I think
I'm mad enough to admit that. So I don't know. I guess I need to do some type of Duolingo or something like that.
Duolingo. Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
The 86, Sunday, October 29th at the Thornbury Theater in beautiful Melbourne. This is an exclusive.
Thornbury.
We might go to Sydney to do some shopping and dining, but the only How Long Gone live experience will be in Melbourne at this festival. Thank you to Emily for bringing us down, and all the Frontier, Penny Drop. I don't know. There's so many promoters involved. All the promoters in Melbourne had to kind of crack their piggy banks to get our flights. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, there's a lot of names on the flyer, but no, we're honestly very excited. It's a big international move for How Long Gone.
Yeah.
And I've never been to Australia, so I'm looking forward to flying 15 hours to just be back in LA. but hopefully my third eye is cracked open once we hang out with
locals. It'll be worth the 15-hour flight because it'll be like LA, but more your version of it. They've taken all the parts of LA, but just done it in their own way. And I think that Australian way is a little more up your alley.
Okay, great. And I can't wait to do some press on Triple J, my dream. Do a little morning radio. That's the only reason I'm going.
Which I've done before, so that's my privilege, and I hope that you get to experience that as well.
We put some stuff from the spring tour on the How Long Gone web store experience.
Yeah.
Thank you to Sam Jane for whipping those up. The summer goth How Long Gone black stitching on navy blue hat, a Chris favorite to celebrate The Cure going on tour, is moving like hotcakes. So get that now.
Mm-hmm. For those who know.
And also in personal news, Liz Phair is going on tour, Jason. 30th anniversary of Exile in Guyville.
How is that personal?
Well, because I'm excited about it.
It's a personal interest piece.
It's not
affecting you personally other than you like it.
Other than I like it. And actually, Blonde Shell, who was on How Long Gone, is opening, which is a big look for her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we're going to have to catch a couple of those, TJ. That might be a multi-city thing. LA, New York minimum. Yeah, I want you to experience it with me because I think you need to see me.
I'll experience one show with you, but
okay,
I think that's fine. Any more than that is not fair.
I'm going to see Polachek and Ethel Kane at Radio City in New York on Saturday, and I've been told by people in the Polachek camp that the crowd is guaranteed to be better looking. So that's good.
I'm glad that they know. They already know, like for sure, for certain. We've already checked out a lot of their LinkedIn profiles, and by and large, they are hotter.
We don't ask you to send a headshot. We make you send a LinkedIn with your ticket request.
You know, speaking of that show, I saw somebody tweet saying, like, I just saw that Ethel Kane is playing with Caroline Polachek on the same night in New York as Muna.
Yeah.
And whoever decided this is making it really hard for a certain type of person in town, kind of thing, saying, like, you know, for the lesbian community. I'm assuming that's what that means, right?
I would assume.
But to me, it feels like an absolute no-brainer because I saw Muna play once and it was like, it's like Disney Channel music or something like that, right? That's not real, right?
It's insane. They're huge, though. I mean, they open for Taylor Swift. I mean, it's crazy.
It's like music that they play at Target or something. It's not like real stuff.
In Target in Ridgewood, maybe. We do have a guest today. We do have a guest today, and I'm excited. Been a fan for a while. Zainab Johnson is a comedian, actor and writer from Harlem. You may have seen her on, I think she was on Last Comic Standing, actually, which I've
never been on a bunch of stuff.
She's been in a bunch of stuff. She's on a show called Upload, on Amazon as well.
Is she on Upload? Sick.
Yeah. I followed her a while ago and then DM'd her to come on the show and she never opened it. and then I guess like a fan said she should go. I don't even know how, like a fan was like, you should go on. And then,
yeah, it's somebody who listens to the show, a girl named Diana. She was like, hey, you should get this comedian on their podcast. I think she's really funny. I've seen her. She's dope. And I was like, yeah, she's funny. Let's check it out. And I sent her to you. You sent a DM, didn't open it. And then she sent like a follow up, whatever, 6 months later. And she was like, oh, fuck, I'm sorry, I didn't open it. And then boom, booked it. And here we go.
It's beautiful. This is how it gets done.
But that's why you and her have a lot in common. You both are kind of like, don't really need to open this DM, you know?
Yeah. All right. Let's give Zainab a jingle. How Long Gone is brought to you by our dear friends at BetterHelp, Jason.
BetterHelp, you know, summer travel season is coming up. Luckily, my BetterHelp therapist also fancies themselves a bit of a travel agent. So for maybe the first half of our suite sessions, we're spent off clock going through, you know, hotels, ferries, car rentals, restaurant recommendations. It's as if I have two wives. I have two wives inside of me, and
sure.
Yeah, so it is a fun way to find and connect different therapists. You get one that you really like. You guys are gossiping. You guys are chit-chatting. You guys are talking about your personal interests. Next thing you know, it's time to actually do the work. So it feels good building those mental health relationships with people you actually like. And on BetterHelp, there are so many different therapists to choose from.
I don't like anyone. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howlong today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howlong.
Nice.
How Long Gone is brought to you by Nutrafol. As you know, hair thinning is quite complicated. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and most importantly, grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair.
Go ahead, give it a tug. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth suppy, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with considerably less shedding. Thank God. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code How Long, all one word. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists and professional stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol. I got Raf on the nut.com promo code How Long. That's Nutrafol.com promo code How Long.
What's going on? How are you? First of all, is this natural lighting? Where are you located?
I'm in my office right now, and there's a big door right in front of me with a bunch of sunlight coming in.
Yeah, this looks great. I gotta say, you're really, yeah, this is
thank you.
Maybe the best we've ever seen anyone look on this podcast. It's really the right time of day for you. It's really hitting. I'm not kidding.
No ring light at all, Zainab. You sure?
There's a ring light in here. No, but the ring light is
not on.
No, the ring light is on, but the ring light is right next to the door.
Okay.
So the ring light's it's not doing anything. Like it's the sun. I mean, the sun is this gets like the best light.
I need to relocate because people say sometimes I look like I'm in jail.
Yeah. You do.
But is that my look or is that my setting or is it unfortunately a combination of both?
Now that you say it could be your look, it definitely could be a combination of both. But you know what, too? Like, if I was on my MacBook Pro, this would not look as good. Like, right now, I'm on an iMac. Mm. And so even the camera is better. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
iMac has a good camera.
You've set yourself up for success, is what you're saying.
You know.
Okay. So you do a lot of on-camera stuff, so you've kind of done the work and understand what you need to do to succeed.
Well, first of all, I don't have on any makeup, not even a mascara. So, and I had two braids in my hair, and right before I logged on, I just took the two braids out because I was like, I'm not sure if they're going to post anything from this. And there's been so many podcasts where I think I'm just coming on and it's just going to be audio. And then they want to post a whole bunch of clips. I got a
bullshit
towel around my head.
First of all, we would never do that to you. We respect our guests too much. We're audio only. We're old school.
Okay.
We are leaving a substantial amount of money on the table, but it's going to pay off later. So it's fine. So don't worry about it. You look great. And why did you?
Thank you.
What was wrong with the braids? Did you just feel like you were ready for a change, or why did you take them out? Like, what's the issue?
I think maybe you're sleeping them.
No, it was just two. Yeah, it was just two braids.
Oh,
it was
okay,
just like
okay,
two,
okay.
Like Pippi Longstocking braids.
Okay, and okay,
so
okay, okay.
I would have much preferred to leave that, because it's like after this I'm gonna go to Pilates. I got to put the braid back in. You know what I'm saying? But
I do know what you're saying.
But I don't have on any makeup. I'm not like dressed up. So just like a little bit of zhuzh hair, just, you know, mm-hmm. It gives a little something.
Yeah, no, we always want to give a little something. Jason's camera's off because we often record this podcast shirtless, but with certain guests, it doesn't feel as appropriate. So Jason, thank you for kind of keeping the bird covered today.
Yeah, it's shirtless in a bad way, not a good way.
Or he could have just put a shirt on, right?
Yo, chill.
Yeah, why you got to bring that up? What kind of Pilates are we doing?
Are there different types of Pilates? I'm doing reformer Pilates with the machine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's mat Pilates. There's different varietals.
Oh, yes. I do private lessons twice a week with a lovely instructor, but yeah, she uses the reformer. Yeah.
It must be nice. I didn't know stand up paid like that, Jason. I don't know about you, but private.
So is this private in someone's house, or is this private like in a gym, or how private are we going here?
It's private. It's in her studio. And she has a studio, and she can only see one client at a time. The studio is, I don't know, it's in Westwood. Like, so it's a business, a storefront, like a brick and mortar.
Okay, okay.
And she has everything set up. Like, she has a stretching table, because she also offers like these stretch, you know, you can get
I like
stretch.
That. I like
that. Yeah. Oh, I did it last week. And it's just like an hour of her stretching you. And I thought it was going to be relaxing, like a massage. It was.
No, hell no. Uh-uh, no. That shit's serious.
Yeah. It's really like you. Breath work is important.
So what is your, because Jason and I argue about this a lot, because I'm a big, obviously, you can tell, I'm sure, but I lift a lot of weights. And Jason is more of a mobility guy. And I just, I wanted to know.
Why are you laughing at mobility? What the fuck?
If the stretching was that painful for you, I just want to know where your mobility is at. Do you have any problem areas you'd want to discuss with us as far as mobility goes?
First of all, Jason, I'm laughing because he said I can tell he's short. Like, are you short?
I was saying I'm muscular. I'm actually 6'4".
Okay. That's what I'm like. I can't tell your height at all.
He said sure, S-H-U-R-E instead of short. But I also clocked it as a short as well, just for the record. But yeah, he's tall. He's long, he's grown.
Okay.
But yeah, he's all muscle.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a car that's all engine, but the tires are flat. And I change my tires every week, but the engine game is weak. So that's kind of our duality. And it looks like you're somewhere in the middle.
Like, I have really strong heart and lungs, right? Like, I don't anymore, but I used to be able to like run like 8 miles a day. I would just do that in the morning, just like for fun.
Okay.
Now I'm like down to maybe like four to five miles, like maybe five times a week.
Damn. Okay. We have a
still quite impressive.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
I will say it's rare to hear somebody say I have a really strong heart and not and say it in the physical form, not like in the emotional sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, emotionally, it's pretty rock hard as well. But
okay. She said my heart's bricked up.
Emotion game swole.
No, I don't know if you guys know anything about signs. I don't, so I don't know why I'm going to say this. But like, I'm an Aries, and I think Aries are typically known to be, like, you know what I'm saying? We're known to be stubborn, strong. Like, I'm very logical. Like, I don't let... somebody told me that like years ago. They were like, you got to let the heart do its work. Like, you keep trying to allow the brain to do the work of the heart, and you got to let the heart do its work. So I'm pretty, you know, anyway, I think I'm pretty strong, but it's like, I could just like jump for hours, but like, it takes me a while, like to Like I could do probably like 10 regular push-ups now, but it takes me a while to build up to get stronger. And at first I was like weight training and stuff like that. But sometimes you work out with people and you get stronger, but then I'm tall as well. Mm-hmm. I'm 5'11". Mm. And so I don't want to get the physique where people are like, oh, you play ball? Like, I don't want that physique.
You don't want to have volleyball shoulders. I get it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's fine if you do.
It's totally
cool. My girlfriend, she does a lot of yoga and Pilates as well, and she tries to limit the amount of Pilates she does because she sort of has a fear of getting a little too much of a muscular build from the Pilates. That's not something that you've noticed or been worried about?
So, no, like I've...
Not to put her on blast.
No, it's fine. Like, I feel like I'm getting stronger with the Pilates, like, definitely. But it's not in the way, like my arms can get, like, really buff, like, really fast.
So you got like Madonna in the 90s arms, but you don't have like China the wrestler arms is what you're saying.
No, but I can get China the wrestler arms if I want.
You want China arms? It's on. Okay,
it's no problem.
I don't. But I realize with Pilates, like when I the older I get, as I like run and stuff like that, I'll realize like, oh, my hips are hurting me. You know, like I have I do have some mobility issues and things like that. And like, I'll compensate in certain parts of my body and I'll feel it. You know, you feel it with, especially like in your knees and physical activities. Mm. But I find now that I've been doing Pilates and it hasn't been that long, I'm going into like the second month of it.
You already feel some improvements.
Yeah. I'm not having any pain. Like I'm not having posture, I'm not having back pain. Like that's the thing that I'm noticing more than like just like a severe change in like my physical aesthetic.
Yeah. You're able to just be walking around feeling good versus I had a great workout, but I fucking can't walk for shit. I can't sit up off the toilet very easily, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, after you kill it at Pilates and you put in the work, are you the type of person who's like, now it's time to have a smoothie and then post up? Or is it like, now I've unlocked the ability to eat whatever the fuck I want, I'm going to go in right now?
I don't know if I'm like a smoothie person after like a Pilates thing, but I think it just depends on my day. But like, if I'm feeling hungry, then I'm definitely going to eat. But I don't feel like it's like defeats the whole point of a workout if you're just going to work out and then just go to town eating. Like that is counterproductive as fuck.
Yeah, but if you love eating, then you gotta figure out a way to eat and maintain the physique though, you know?
I do love eating.
Doesn't sound like it. That's all I'm saying, you know?
No, I do.
No, there's like and there's love.
No.
Where do you live? Where do you live in LA? You're in LA?
Yeah, I live in LA.
Hot Wings Cafe. We doing a 12, 24, 36, 48. What's up?
I don't eat chicken. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Are you a pescatarian?
Sometimes, like, yeah, you could say I'm like a non-dairy pescatarian, but I eat mostly vegan, but I will eat fish sometimes.
Okay. if it's from a good source, healthily cooked.
If you catch it yourself, I'm sure.
I do know how to catch fish, but no, I'm not catching
the
fish.
What do you mean you know how to catch fish? You're lying. How do you know how to catch fish?
What do you mean? I was a kid once that went fishing often. I know how to catch fish.
Often?
Yes, there's things like, there's things called lakes and freaking summer camps. There's like absolutely.
And Chris is the one who grew up in Georgia. And I grew up in Southern California. I fished every day as a kid as well. Chris, it sounds like you're the problem here.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in New York City, but like my parents knew how to get us out the house.
Okay, wow. Congratulations. You know how to fish.
A lot of New York City parents don't though at the same time. You know,
your parents,
like
Central Park, there's your park. A little badass kid and your parents need to get rid of you. So you went to go learn how to fish.
First of all, I am one of 13. I'm in the middle. I'm the fifth kid. I couldn't even afford to be bad, but
damn, I can't afford to be bad. I like that.
My father just liked, we did what my parents liked. And my father is like my mom, she would have us, if we weren't in school, she would have us in Central Park all day, every day.
Beautiful.
You know, in the park, there's like lakes, you could be on a boat and you can actually fish. But then they also sent us away to like summer camps. Like I used to go, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, but it's called Fresh Air Fun. And what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
they take little, you know, black and Spanish kids out like the quote unquote hood, and they send us to like white families for the summer. So I did that for like a couple of summers when I was a kid.
Did you meet any cool white people that way, or is it more experiences?
No, I met a lot of cool white people. I love my white family.
Okay, so did you?
So you would literally just go live in a random family's house for the whole summer and just do?
Well, they were only random the first time. It was only random the first time.
Oh, so it repeated every year.
It wasn't a one summer stand. No, you kept going.
You had return clients. You were able to go rounds year after year.
Yeah, it's the same family. I went for 2 weeks the first summer, the second summer 4 weeks, the summer after that. Like I did that from the age of like 10 to 14 or something like that. So
okay, hold on, what are these people? All right, so where and what were these people into? Because this seems like a little, you know, I don't know, this is a little weird to me, I have to be honest.
It sounds weird, but it really was like a good experience. They were in Vermont.
Okay, so you went, okay, so you, that's like as white as you can go. That's like,
oh, yeah,
Vermont,
real white.
Is top
real white.
White stuff.
We're talking Vermont white.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you understand when I say I fish, I can fish.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what else did you learn to do? Yeah. Like snowboard? What other like white activities?
Not snowboard, because I was only there in the summer.
Okay, sure.
I was actually thinking back on it the other day, and I'm like, I did, my life as a kid is so different now. Like, I won't get in a lake now. No. Like, I don't think.
No, they're dirty. They're dirty. No.
Yeah, but when I used to go to Vermont, I got in lakes all the time. I mean, I would have like, you know, when you have like the slugs attached to you. Like, I had all of those experiences. Oh. I crashed a golf cart one summer because I told them I could drive, but I couldn't.
Okay. No, crashing a golf
cart. That's actually the whitest thing you could do is crash a golf
cart.
Yeah,
that is the whitest thing you could do. And hopefully you were a little bit drunk.
Coming through.
You had a couple Miller Lights on the turn and you just couldn't handle it.
No, Chris, I do not drink.
You didn't drink then?
No.
Okay, so you're basically vegan. You don't drink. Do you smoke marijuana?
No.
Okay, what is your vice? What is your release? And you can't say killing it at the store. I'm talking about real dark shit. There's something dark going on under here.
No, so my vice are sweets. That's what, like, my vice.
Welcome to the resistance, baby. Me yeah. too. All right, what... Are we talking chocolate? We talking gummy stuff? We talking what are we looking at?
Not chocolate, but like gummy stuff. Like my favorite thing was Twizzlers. I can't eat Twizzlers anymore because it's all wheat. But my favorite thing was Twizzlers. But I'll go with Swedish Fish, a Sour Power.
Oh, let's go.
Gummy bears. Just any sort of like good candy, okay. like fruit snacks. Like,
okay.
But that's the candy department.
That is the
candy. That's why I don't say that I'm vegan, because as much as I'm not going to like drink a cup of milk or eat cheese, like I never liked cheese, even a kid or milk, but like, I don't care if the cake is made with eggs and milk. Like, I don't care about that or butter. You know what I'm saying? Like I eat cakes, cookies.
You're not checking the donut ingredients to see if there's gelatin in it or anything like that.
Yeah,
no,
you're all set. No. I mean, we were talking about this recently, actually, because I think that Swedish Fish, I love them, but the tooth pain, I just can't really get past it. Have you had your teeth replaced? Are those your real teeth? Or
these are my real teeth. Yeah, these are my real teeth.
Teeth looking good. So I'm impressed.
Thank
with
you
this
for
much
answering
candy.
That ridiculous question in a serious manner.
That's not a ridiculous question. She's saying she eats a lot of candy. She's a member of the Hollywood elite community.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not.
Never said that.
I said it. I'm saying you're a member of the Hollywood elite community. I'm sure you got a lot of friends with veneers, and I'm sure you've been tempted, but they're looking good, all natural.
I do have a lot of friends with veneers, and I actually I'm so thankful because these are my teeth. I don't have braces. I definitely take better.
I'm so thankful these are my teeth.
well, it's because I love a beautiful smile, but I'm not a fan of the veneers. I'm really, really not.
Well, yeah, I mean, nobody wants to get them. I think it's more of a you have to get them. You know, like your teeth are so fucked up.
But
unless it's the other side of the coin where it's like I have like some type of tooth dysmorphia and I need to have like the most insanely perfect teeth to where it looks unnatural, and then you're a freak show.
Tooth dysmorphia is a new thing. Jason's also a doctor, not a doctor, a dentist. You know the difference, but
yeah.
Veneers, they just honestly, I'm price adverse. 50 bands for the teeth,
yeah,
is not. It just seems unreasonable. I feel like you could do a lot of other stuff to get them pretty good. before you have to go to the shave down veneer level?
I mean, it's, you know, it depends. Like, I don't want to judge anybody's struggle, but I will say this, my friend, because I can't speak from that, because I don't know, because I got great teeth. So I don't, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Like,
that's, I understand,
not my, you know what I'm saying, ministry. But
yeah,
my friend got her teeth done and she went to Turkey. And it was drastically less, mm-hmm, because, and a lot of people, like, that's what Turkey is, mm-hmm, known for. Turkey is known for dental work, good dental work, and all the men go to get their hair transplant.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot. I've been to Istanbul, and the hair stuff is
yeah,
very.
Well, Chris, say why you went there, because she might think that you went there for a procedure.
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask, did you get your hair done?
No. I didn't. This is all natural. It's all natural. It's God's gift to me. I have a nice full head of hair. I just keep it short because it's easier for working out. Thank you for
full
that.
Full and luxurious. He likes to be aerodynamic. Take that however you want to take it.
I like
it.
To be aerodynamic. No, I went there just for fun because it's beautiful. I just went for vacation. And I'd heard that before, but I'd never seen it. And it's kind of gnarly because it's like bloody. So it's like, look,
it's bloody,
and you have to wear like branded headbands, mm-hmm, to keep the blood from dripping. Mm-hmm. But I found out recently, I also found out recently from a friend that you can get a lot of procedures done there at a great discounted rate. So I am looking into it for some medical tourism. I don't know what it is yet, you know?
Yeah. I might go and get my legs shortened a little bit.
Yeah. I
take 3 inches off.
I don't think that we talked about this on stage cause we just got back from doing some shows, but one of the many things that are different in being a man and a woman is that the kind of, for men, I feel like aging is not only accepted, but almost rewarded. You know, like gray fox, like it's hot, daddy, etc. So I don't feel the pressure to get Botox and fillers and fat removal yet. But I don't know. Jason, do you feel that pressure, or are you free from that?
No, I don't feel any of that pressure. I haven't really gone gray yet, so I'm good there, and my hair is good. I think eventually at some point I might look into a little Botox, but I'm a little cock-shy on pulling the trigger, because as soon as you do it, you got to kind of do it for life, and mm-hmm, it's a commitment. You can't just like do it once and be like, whatever, but I'm never going to get fillers, because you know, I'm a grown-ass man. I can't do that.
Yeah, I don't think that... That's
crazy.
Fellas get fillers is a wild, it's wild. Like if a guy admitted to you that he got fillers, would you, I mean, are you letting him hit or no? Let's be real.
That's one, not the criteria for me to hit, for a guy to hit, but I would be taken aback. But I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who are considered, there's a lot of men specifically who are fine, who get like, let me just tell you, Brad Pitt, not looking like that. Just God given.
That's a good point.
You know, and so he has a great doctor. He has a great medical professional, but it's not natural.
But do you think? But I think the Brad Pitt tax bracket medical professional is something that Jason or I would not have access to. So yeah. I don't know if the quality of work would be the same.
But that's everybody, right? Like the whole point, in my opinion, the whole point of anything that accentuates, right? Like makeup, hair. Plastic surgery procedures. It's like, the point is not to look like you got it done.
Yes.
The point is to just look like you effortlessly a fine ass person. Yeah, sure, right? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I woke up like this.
Yeah, exactly. If ever we could see your fillers, if ever we can see your work, then it's not really good work.
Well, that's the problem though. In LA, I think the trend is like the lips, for example, have gotten absolutely insane. I think the trend is to look like you got them done.
People, or people just don't know when to stop. They have a worm in their brain that tells them that they look normal and they need to add more. Is kind of the real problem. And nobody in their life is going to tell them like, babe, you look fucked up. Like, you got to do something about this.
Well, here's the thing. Like, do you guys like that? Because
hell no.
Like, I don't know.
No.
Who is it? It's like, I, if a guy was like, yo, I got these plastic surgery muscles, I'm going to be like, ew, right? But like every guy that I ever talked to.
Don't come for Drake like that.
Don't come for Drake's abs. Don't do that. We're big fans.
Any guy I ever talked to be like, yeah, I don't care if she got a fake butt or fake titties. Like guys don't be caring about that. But I think women, mm-hmm, I think that that's mm-hmm. something that we would be like, so you wasn't even going to try and get real muscles? Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Muscles have a purpose. You get what I'm saying? It's like.
Yeah.
So you look strong, but you can't open a door. Like, what purpose are you serving? know?
I see. Yeah, that does kind of take away the masculinity.
Not much like the mobility issues. You got all these bench pressing muscles, but what happens when you need to do something with it, right?
Yeah. Sure. Also, like I see on TikTok, I'm seeing all like the men hair, that like the men weave, the men wigs, and it really changes the guy. Like yeah. it really like I see the before and after, and I'm like, damn, if I met him in the after, I would think like, oh, that's a good looking dude. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know how I'm going to feel if he has to take the hair off at night. Like, I ain't never dealt with that. I don't really know.
Can you imagine? Like, okay. So yeah, I mean, a guy taking his hair off at night before he gets into bed would be jarring. Like, I think that would be maybe a bridge too far.
He puts it on the ring light next to the bed every night.
I'm just gonna throw this
on a mannequin head.
Yeah, I'm just gonna throw this over here. So what is your local Erewhon? Like, where are you seeing the freaks in LA most?
My local Erewhon is by the Beverly Center.
Oh, that's also my local Erewhon. So
you guys are neighbors.
We're seeing the same kind of freak.
I mean, I guess I'm like used to it, but I don't know. Like I travel a lot for shows, as I'm sure you guys do. And I see the most in airports. And it's really when you get to certain cities, like when I'm traveling to like Detroit, you see the work, but it's not really good work. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Really could see
Detroit. Yeah. Detroit. Best.
You guys are in West Hollywood. You're spoiled. That's arguably the epicenter of the best work in the world. Right?
I think
Korea, Dubai, Beverly Hills. That's kind of,
but
like,
I think it's
in New York.
I think it's the most visible. I don't know if it's the highest quality.
Like I was just driving on Rodeo Drive, and I saw a woman standing outside, and it's like her butt was huge and fake and her face was fake, and I think she thought she looked great.
You talking about Kanye's chick?
What am I talking about, Kanye's chick?
Yeah.
No, just like a random woman.
What's another city that has better per capita plastic surgery? Obviously Beverly Hills has awful plastic surgery everywhere, but it also has some of the best, right?
I'm gonna take some sleepers. There's some sleepers in this. Like
name some cities. Osaka. What do you got, Chris?
No. I think we need to think about places where there's like big bread, like Dallas.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They got money. Like the undercover. I feel like Dallas. I feel like maybe Jason, like La Jolla, San Diego, like that kind of. You know, Palm Beach, obviously. You know, let's not forget Florida, beautiful state.
Calabasas.
Yeah, a lot of international places, like a lot of like the London, you know, just anywhere where they have money, you should be able to see like, oh, people look better here. Like they just because they have, you know, access. But the work is also different. Like if you go to Atlanta, the work is not really going to be in the face. The work is going to be in the body. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yes, well, I just had sort of an impromptu bachelor party at Magic City in Atlanta last week, and I can sort of attest to what you just said, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of attention was paid to some of the bodies.
Yeah. Not so much the face. It's just like it's a lot of hair and like a lot of butt, right? A lot of but very little waist.
Sounds like a Cameron song.
Yeah. Sometimes I look and I'm like, how do they even get clothes that fit? Like how?
Yeah. That's the first thing I think too when I see it.
I think a lot of the clothes are maybe made from synthetic materials that are very malleable.
Like stretchy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They got a lot of give to it in the fabrics. But yeah, I think that it's gotten to the point where I wonder what's going to happen now because the Kardashians are in their white phase now.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're dating white guys.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they start walking it back body wise as well in this new phase.
They've already begun.
Yeah, I think they have.
Yeah, but how much? But there's plenty more.
Like, are we going to go like 2001 mode where it was like Kate Moss level shit?
I mean,
like, are we going to get ribs removed? Is what you're asking?
I don't think we're going to get ribs removed, but I don't think that they're going to be like heroin chic or anything. But I'm just saying.
But
like,
I don't even think they got to walk it back that much because white guys are also on the trend for bodies. You get what I'm saying? Like the masses are now like, this is the trend. Everybody, like, it's not just women of color. It's white women. It's everybody got like are getting bodies. And
they should have never told white people about ass.
No, they fucked up.
We're here now. No, it's true. I used to just be you know, like white people used to be afraid of a big butt, and now it's, you know, it's a key hero item that we look for.
A key hero item. It's true. It's true, though. But it's true, though. I mean, I
need to ask you guys this. What about an ass did you fear?
I don't think it's a fear. I think we were kind of hardwired to believe that as white men, we couldn't handle that. We didn't physically have the capabilities
of like a penis this large. Enough.
Maybe, you know. It's like,
she said, "Your penis is not large enough." Look, maybe. Okay, fuck you. Maybe that's true. Okay, maybe.
Just clarifying. I'm trying to figure out exactly what you're saying. Did you feel like if the ass is too big, like you're going to insert and it's only going to penetrate like one third of the ass? Like,
no, what? No. I think it's just like,
yes, that's exactly what we're saying.
I think it's a little bit.
No, it's
like,
but you pull up to the truck stop. You see the parking spot that's made for the 18 fucking wheeler.
Yeah,
and you have a Honda Accord.
Yeah, you got.
You're
a
like,
Prius.
I'll be able to park my car in there, but. If all the other guys with the 18-wheelers pull up and see what's going on, you know, it's not really going to be looking too good
for
me.
It ain't sweet. But I do think that, yeah, I mean, I think it's the times have changed. And I think that, you know, we're able to kind of, we've gotten past it. And I don't think that's good for anybody.
And also, we're both very tall people. Just imagine if you're, you know, 5'7", white guy, and you see... you know, a Megan Thee Stallion ass, you're just like, I want my mommy. Like, what am I going to do with that?
Jason, what does your girlfriend look like? How is she built? What's her body type?
She has a very great body. She keeps it tight, but she's also in great shape, does like hot yoga, Pilates, multiple days a week. She has a very good body.
But is she like a 2? Is she a 6? Is she a 8? What is she?
Oh, no, she's on the smaller side, but she's okay. Juicy, but she's not walking around with a big giant fat ass is what you're asking.
Okay. And Chris, what type of?
So I would say the same. I would say it's pretty similar.
Okay.
No, but I mean, you want a tight bod, but I don't need like insane shit going on. Like, I don't need aftermarket accessories added.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's all. I think that I would say that I'm a guy who appreciates the 90s kind of natural waifish look.
Okay.
And that's unfortunately for me, well documented.
What's natural about waifish?
Well, I mean, what do you mean? I'm saying there's no additional parts added at the medical office.
Just a regular old eating disorder.
So of the Kardashians, you would go for Kendall.
Kendall's by far the hottest Kardashian. Yes. Yeah. I mean, she's one of the hottest lesbians I've ever seen, but I don't know if she would go for me. You know what I mean?
Whereas I'm more of a Khloe guy because she just looks like more fun. You know,
Khloe doesn't look fun. She looks mean to me.
She'll go mean on some fries, but that's about it.
Who's your pick then?
None of them are my speed. Like I'm, you know.
Well, none of them are our speed either, but we still had to answer the question.
But if, yeah. Okay, but if I had to pick, I don't like any added parts. So I would definitely go with Kendall, but she's basic to me, in my opinion. Like, I mean, I definitely see like great photos and like money, but like if she worked at the supermarket, she would be just like a basic. Like, I wouldn't even remember her in the room if she worked at a supermarket
without all the, you know. Okay.
And so that's how I judge. That's how I judge people. You know what I'm saying? Like, would I like this person if they had nothing?
Well, that's an important question to ask, especially when you're living in Los Angeles.
You're elevated. I like that. So you're okay. So you, but you, would you like that person if they had nothing versus would I stay with them if they had nothing? Very different thing. Or are you willing to get in the slums and get in on the ground floor?
Well, maybe, possibly. Like, I mean, you know, I'm not in my 20s anymore. And so the ground floor is not looking too comfortable. But
Okay.
But I'm just talking about just like attraction in terms of people, like just what I find attractive. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I think what will always sell me, like the thing that'll make me like more sexually attractive to a person, like want to do it to a person, is their personality. Like, I want to be physically attracted to you first, but then the thing that's going to like really move me inside is like you having like a banging personality or being like super smart or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't,
yeah, of course.
Like, abs are nice and tall, you know, be like, you know, it's like a general attractive aesthetic is nice, but if you dumb or you an asshole or something like that, I'm gonna instantly find you unattractive. But
and thank God that women feel that way and women are wired that way. So
Jason and I would both be we would both be virgins if women didn't think like that and be able to kind of look past some of these physical aspects that you speak
of. Yeah, guys are very different. Guys are super and you guys like see sex first. You know, like I see sometimes like really, really beautiful women and I'm like, wow, that woman is beautiful. But like, I'm actually that type of woman, right? And I don't say that to be arrogant, but like, I don't think that God, like, if you like me, then you just like me. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think God see me and is like, oh, Zaynab is so sexy, right? But like hundreds of women stop me and are like, you are so beautiful. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, So I just think that guys look for something very different. Like guys look for a very specific aesthetic and that aesthetic doesn't necessarily say beauty more so than it may say like sexy and like feminine, you know?
Right. I want to fuck that person versus I mean, but you could have an intimidating sense because you have that confidence level where you know what you want and you know what you're looking for. And I think guys often unfortunately are looking for someone that's maybe a little, you know, less confident because they're afraid they won't be able to pull somebody like you, you know.
they can't hang, they're afraid of the smoke.
Yeah, but also too, like, I just prefer to, like, I might button my shirt all the way up to here.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? All the way up to like that button, that little button is hard to button. Like the collar button, like I might button my shirt all the way up to the collar.
You're gonna show a millimeter of titty
because you don't want to. Okay, so you're trying to look covered like a good Christian woman. Like you want to kind of keep it for you.
You want to show off your personality.
Well, I mean, I also think that that's like super fashionable. Yeah, I just think that says more. Like, like look at this. Like, I'm gonna give you a little bit of neck and a little bit of face, and like, you know what I'm saying. I also do feel like I'm one of those people like. The undressed, you like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I don't need.
Okay. All right, Janelle Monáe. Calm down.
I don't need like the constant validation. Like,
sure.
If I'm walking down the street and every guy is like, yo, hey, baby. Like, that's just annoying. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
It's just like too much.
And I'm sorry that being beautiful does cause problems like that. And I really do feel for you. And I hope you find the support that you need because I think that
it sounds like she has a good method now. She's buttoning up all the way. But so how many times have you gone to bed with somebody and then
I wear sweatpants?
You take the clothes off and then somebody's like, oh, so it's like that. Like, is that what you hear? Is it?
I'm sure if I take my clothes off and a guy is like, damn, you tricking me? Like, I'm probably gonna put my clothes right back on.
Jason shows his game yet again. I think that, but this has been a hot topic of conversation because of this Janelle Monáe body coming out party that's happened in the last week.
Yes.
And I call that a hider. And I've traditionally used that term. And it's not as uncommon as one might think because, like you're saying, people do, no matter how beautiful or, you know, quote unquote, stacked they might be, they want to be appreciated for their personality, their wit, their charm. And I think that. Janelle Monáe, I think she really needs to sell records is what I'm starting to, because I think this is, there must be some, because she's had this the whole time and I feel like something has changed, you know, because the video is almost not safe for work.
So do you think that her awakening is only purely driven by album sales, or she may have, maybe she just had like an ayahuasca retreat, or, you know, she has a good therapist or something like that happen and she unlocked a new portion of her brain?
I think all of that is possible, but I think that Janelle Monáe has been making hit songs for a very long time. Like, I believe she has, I think she's going to get like an EGOT in her career. Like, she's very successful, but she's not part of the conversations that other people are. And I think that's probably frustrating when you're that talented. You're probably like sick of it. And when you got the goods, you know what I'm saying? It's easy to
double DGOT is what you said.
Exactly. It's easy to kind of be like, all right, fuck it. Y'all want to play with me? Like, I will come to the table with something that maybe you're unfamiliar with. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I think two things. One, maybe like this will help this parallel. Like, I used to have a shaved head for a really long time. And then I decided to like grow my hair back. And it's a very different aesthetic, you know, but I think that hair isn't like, you know, bodies are like, especially nice bodies like Janelle Monáe, it's like super sexualized. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, of
and
course.
I think when people go from like a conservative look to a super sexualized, you know, to like, you know, showing themselves, we automatically think like that they're doing it for some monetary gain or some, yeah. You know, but also too, I think women, we like people go through phases, but women go through phases, and they say that women feel like they're sexiest when they're like in their mid to late 30s and 40s.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so that's, she's like, in that zone.
Janelle's, yeah. So she might also just be really going through the phase where she's loving, she is like desiring herself and wanting to, you know what I'm saying? I think identifies as like, gender neutral too.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, you like her more so than anybody. If I ever see like a drastic change, it makes sense to me. Cause I'm like, well, yeah, she kind of let us know that she's like all things.
Yeah.
And so today she's this thing, and like, damn, this thing is like fine and sexy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
she contains multitudes.
I'm gender neutral and horny at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be both. I mean, I think she looks amazing, and I think it is, I think all of those things are true, but I also think it's like, you can't ignore the fact that that's what sells.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's just the
truth. It is the first time a Janelle Monáe music video has become a trending topic.
Yes.
Yeah, and I, you know, I like for somebody to like be able to stun on you. I like that. Like it's oh, and just when you didn't know that I could come like this, let me give y'all these titties real quick.
No, it's great. Yeah. I mean, it really is great, and it to me feels like a little bit of a throwback to when artists would like change their persona for an album. You know, it's like, oh, I'm kind of entering this era. That's what I'm doing. That's what the music sounds like. That's what the look is. It encapsulates all of it. And I appreciate that, because that's, I wish we had more of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's, you were mentioning about dating a little bit. Do you normally date civilians? Is it hard for you to date people who are not, you know, thinkers, funny people, stuff like that?
You know, I was actually like laughing. I was on a flight back home this morning, and I was kind of laughing because this guy came up to me at one of my shows in Boston and was like, so like, you know, can I get your number? Like, I know you're a celebrity, but it's like, is that like, and I thought,
well, I wasn't so much talking about you being a celebrity as much as you are a comedian and an intelligent thinker like that. You
know? Oh, okay.
But sorry, go. You can finish your story, please. I'd like to hear.
But also, only guys worry about that. Like, women are like, yeah, you're a celebrity. That's the reason why I'm even entertaining. You know what I'm saying? Like, only guys are like, have some trepidation or some timidness. You know what I'm
just trying,
like,
to hit for the story. That's
you
it.
You know, women are like,
I just want to tell my friends.
Yeah, of course he's a celebrity. I am not opposed to dating a civilian.
Well, hold on. Let me ask this chuckle fucker in Boston. did you bless him with the digits?
No.
Or did you kind of, you left him on red at the club?
I said, send me a DM. That's the best way to contact me.
There we go.
You know, it sucks for somebody to not be interested in you, but it is what it is.
I'm not mad at him shooting his shot, though. I mean,
me either.
It's cool.
I tell everybody, like, shoot your shot. Like, there's people, I've dated somebody that I met at a show and like really, really, really was into them. You know, I dated somebody who slid in my DM. So it's like, shoot your shot.
So is this, okay, at the shows though, what's your demo? Like, who's showing up to see you?
So that's what I love about my audience. It's like so diverse. Like, there could be like 20-year-olds in there. There could be 80-year-olds in there. They're going to be white, black, young, old professionals, art, you know, you know, like guys, there's some guys.
Broke hoes.
Yeah, there's some guys who are, I do get like a lot of, I don't know, guys all the time show up at my shows. Like, I'm here to ask you out. And it's like, that's cool. I'm going to keep doing these jokes.
All right. Yeah, I'm busy. I'm actually kind of tied up right now. So if you could just kind of give me an hour.
That's what I don't like, though. Like, if I'm on stage in the middle of my set and they make it known in the middle of my set, I don't like that because.
Wait, what? People
that just
do
lets
that?
Me know.
Guys and girls.
Yeah.
And non-binary folks.
Of course, non-binary folks as well. But you're saying to me that they just, you're in the middle of your set. They've paid to come see you. And they're like, let me holler at you.
So they won't say it like that, but like, let's say I'm doing a bit and I'll be like, let's say I just go to the let's say I'm like asking somebody like, what's your type? I don't even got to be asking them. And I'm like, what's your type? And they're like, you.
Oh, some classic crowd work gone wrong situation.
You know, I mean, it don't never go wrong for me because I could just make fun of that. But or like I was doing a bit about how I don't drink, right? And this guy, when I was done with the bit, he was like, I don't drink either.
That's pretty good. When are you gonna let me fuck?
I don't drink either.
We're not getting to hit. Hey, baby, we got something in common. I kind of like that.
No, you say it after the show because what that says to me is like, oh, you think that you're so important that you're willing. I'm like, I know that comedy looks fun, but like you're basically interrupting me at work.
Yeah.
And so you think you enough of a catch to interrupt me at work. And so if you ain't enough of a catch, you become even less of a catch to me.
Yes.
And you're about to get flambéed on stage for doing so.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Do you let people have it?
No, I'm not really mean on stage. Like,
I did see a video of you talking to a woman about guns and saying that if she would get shot first. You kind of came for somebody a little bit.
You think that's letting somebody have it?
I mean, it was in a playful way, but I guess it's not. You're not really going in on somebody.
Yeah,
but
no,
you did say that they would die.
So here's the thing, right? And I got a bit of a backlash for that.
Okay.
So I was talking. I said I bought a house, and so I got a gun. That's what I said. That's the premise. Mm-hmm. That was my statement. Mm-hmm. And so she said, me too. But I didn't ask nobody.
Sure. This wasn't a question. This was me.
I got a gun too. Great job, lady. Trying to do a joke.
So instead of ignoring her, I acknowledged her. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, you did too? And then she said, yeah. And I said, oh, you practice? Are you good? Right? And then she went in. She said, oh, yeah. If they come to my house, they're going to be dead. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like we know. You ever talk to a person, they telling you a story and you have to ask them, like, did you say that? And they like, well, no, I ain't say that.
I didn't say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, they're coming to my house. I'm going to let Chiquita speak. I'm going to let her spray on them, dump the whole clip.
Yeah. So it was basically like the big bad wolf. You get what I'm saying? And all I did was call out a truth, which is typically when a person is speaking that confidently about something, they the person that's going to be the worst in the situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So when she was like, yeah, they come to my house, they're going to be dead, baby. They're going to be dead. They go, and I said, girl, I know you're going to die first. Like, I know, I just know it.
And that, I mean, and that's why I know about you, because it's a perfect joke because it works, it's sound, and you could tell somebody you're going to die first and it works. That's the perfect crime. It's great.
But if people think that that's like coming for somebody, then I guess I do, because in every moment I just speak like I go wherever logic takes me.
Yeah. But also that's what people want when somebody's yelling out, I got a gun too. It's just because they're desperate to find something in common with you because they love you so much. They came to see you. They paid this money. And it just comes out in inopportune ways sometimes. And you got to give them a little bop on the nose.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll be like, damn, maybe next time I won't heckle my favorite comedian because that's stupid.
Yeah.
But, and we all have to learn the hard way sometimes.
Yeah. And that's all in good fun. And like, I know to say that to her because I'm experiencing that too. Like, you know, like it, in terms of, if I were able to finish the joke, I would have told how I forgot how to load my clip, and so I was trying to watch a YouTube video. You know what I'm saying? If I was able to finish the joke, then I would have been the butt of that joke as well. Do you get what I'm saying?
Sure.
But I wasn't, because she really wanted me to know, girl, I got me too. And then I got my gun, and whoever ready, I'm ready. And it's like, even if that is true, you ain't supposed to say it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
No. That's not your time. What kind of gun do you have, though, just quickly?
A Glock.
Okay. And do you go shoot it often, or did you just kind of do it once or twice?
I did it a few times, and then I plan to go like monthly, but I haven't been in a while.
As a homeowner, I'm not allowed to own a gun. And not for my past crimes, just my girlfriend won't allow that.
Okay.
But I'm from the South.
Is it because she's Canadian?
Yeah, Canadians aren't really big on the Glock in the house. They kind of think, we can just settle this nicely. We don't have to go that hard, okay? We don't have to kill anyone. Mm-hmm. It's not that serious.
Yeah, I've thought about it as well. I don't have one, but it's definitely not off the table.
I'm terrified. I'm terrified as well.
If something's going to go down, it's probably going to be in the middle of the night. I'm probably going to be off an edible. I don't want to be fumbling for the fucking shoddy when I'm high as a motherfucker. Yeah. Just watch 100-foot wave. I'm just vibing. Yeah, I'm like, oh, God, I got to kill somebody right now.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think also I would definitely be one of the statistics where I, like, gun owner killed protecting himself because he did something wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there, I don't know. Do you actually feel Like, did you feel danger, or was this a precautionary thing? Like, I have something to protect now. It's mine. Like, I'm going to take this step.
No, I do not like guns. I do not at all like guns.
Same, same.
And I do think that there's another way. But, you know, I do have like a lot of male friends who were like really adamant, like, no, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, at times you're single and you're there and you should really know how to protect yourself. But mm-hmm. it's like, really, if I have the opportunity and there's an intruder in my house, then I'm just going to try and get out the house. Yeah, that's going to be sure. my course of action, you know. But I will say that when I did go to the shooting range in practice, I was really good, like surprisingly good, just in terms of like aim and calm and stuff
with,
like that.
With your background in fishing, it comes as no surprise.
You know,
so she's a natural born killer at the range.
I got a particular set of skills.
You used to have a podcast, but now you don't. What happened to that?
I just stopped doing it. I was doing it like once a week, and it was just like me ranting to myself. It was very, you know, I didn't have any guests, and I would like just talk
about Bill Burr
like,
mode.
Yeah, Bill Burr
definitely,
mode.
Exactly. Just like Bill Burr. And I mean, but like a little bit, you know, a little bit more smoother. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't.
Wait,
like,
you're not, hold on. You're not into hockey? I'm so surprised.
I wasn't like, yelling and getting an aneurysm for like 40 minutes. but then I just decided to like, I realized like, I don't know. I just feel like people be talking about telling us how they feel about everything. And then I just realized like, oh, it's so many people having like a conversation. It's not important. Let me shut my ass up. No offense, podcast guys.
No, none taken.
I get
none
that
taken,
feedback but, in my personal life as well, so I get it.
But usually, if you cancel the podcast, it's either two things: like you were just bad at it, you didn't like it, or you weren't good at it, or you had something else that kind of was going well enough, and you were like, why? I don't, you know, my stand up is killing it right now, and I'm traveling, I'm making money doing that. I'm not going to waste my time with this podcast shit. So I feel like maybe it could have been a little bit of that too.
No, like I think I was good. I think a lot of people liked it. I think when I stopped doing it, people were like, "Where's the podcast?" Like, and people still hit me like, "I'm just now binging your podcast," and I'm like, I think part of it too was like, you know, when you do something every week and you're just talking. Like I started seeing people, you know, getting like penalized for like the things that they said in like the past. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
I remember saying something on a podcast, like saying like an actress wasn't like, she didn't have the face to wear the dress she wore. And it's like, that's a fine opinion, but that's also something that it's not worth it to bite me in the ass later. You know?
No, it's not.
So you did a Met Gala episode too and said a few things that you shouldn't have?
Did I do? It was either a Met Gala episode or like, maybe like an Oscars episode. It was very early.
Award show.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel like it was worth it, but I used to like, it was very easy for me to do because it wasn't guest reliant. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
And I do have opinions. Like I would go all over the place. Like I remember I did a rant about how when it was like Meghan Markle and what's the guy that she's married to?
That's Prince Harry.
Prince Harry.
Oh, okay. My favorite pastime is like to not know who white people are. it's like I knew you
were a big fan of this podcast before you came on. So I appreciate kind of letting us know that that's for sure the deal.
Even if, wait, just for the record, you know who Prince Harry is and you're just doing your little kink where you act like you don't know who he is, or what was the...
No, I literally, like, I saw a picture of him in my mind, but I couldn't...
Okay.
Well, just to be clear, I know it says it on the screen, but I'm Chris, that's Jason, just so you know. As we move forward.
But we did like a Met Gala episode a few weeks ago, and we were talking to somebody who's like a very big celebrity stylist about it, and I think the reason why you kind of felt like maybe it's not worth it anymore is because once your profile sort of gets to a certain level, it's really difficult to say critical things about other people, even if you are really funny, even if it's an amazing joke. It's just like, it's just not worth the shit that you get, the backlash from the fans.
You can't fuck your money up for making fun of a dress. It's just not worth it. It doesn't equate.
Yeah.
But I'm saying don't give up. We got to find a way to try. You know, it gets harder, but it's not impossible.
But also, to be very honest with you, I also like had no interest in like the hot topic. Like I just,
I actually
lost interest in talking about that. Like nothing about this Met Gala made me feel like, I did one episode, I think, like last year, like right when I was done with it, I did one episode and it was something Kanye did. I was just compelled to talk about. I think it was when he couldn't go to, he ain't know where his kid's birthday party was. I just found that so funny. Like I just, and then the video, like, I think he looked like he was in like a Honda Accord. He was driving his, it just, and my premise, the premise of the pod, like the point of the podcast was like, listen, everybody is like, my life would be so different if I was just rich and famous. And look, Kanye is a whole billionaire right now, and he got the life of a baby daddy making $22,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not exempt. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
And so, you can see it on his face.
Yeah, and so that I was compelled, but like I've not seen anything really like in the vlog news cycle that's made me go like, damn, I got to talk to the public about this. Like,
right.
And anything that I can say funny, it's like I could just take it to the stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's true. That's
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
We do this podcast 3 times a week. So it's...
I saw. Yeah.
We're just hanging ourselves out to dry as often as possible. But I do think that because we do 2 that are with a guest, it's like a 15-minute intro that we do together.
Yeah.
That often feels like the really appropriate time to tackle those hot topics that you're talking about. Yeah. And you have to move through it so fast.
The timely throwaway topics, like, boom, this happened, blah, 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 and that's it. And yeah, you can't do a whole episode on it because then you're like, is this my life?
Yeah.
There's no protein.
So wait, so all you guys do is a podcast? Like, that's who you are?
No, I mean, well...
Well, we do some other stuff, but that's a big chunk of it.
I would like you to not kind of pigeonhole me like that. I'm actually a really creative person that has a lot of endeavors.
Yo, Chris, a hit dog hollers. Ain't you from Georgia?
A hit dog hollers.
The first time I heard that, I was like, what else around this like southern guy? He's like from Texas or something. And he said 2 things. I had no idea what he was talking about. He said a hit dog hollers. And I was like, where's a dog? Is there a dog in the house? Like, I don't, like, what are you talking about? And then he said, it's like selling wolf tickets. And I was like,
I've never heard that one.
And I've heard like a lot of people say it since. And I was like, what does that mean? And he was like, you ever bought tickets to see a wolf? And I was like, no, they sell those? He was like, exactly. I was like,
you're like damn.
Damn, you changed me.
I mean, southern shit is crazy. People say crazy shit. It really is, like the way of speaking and stuff, like the hit dog holler thing is really good, and like that clicks instantly.
Yeah,
the second choice, the wolf, it's a little harder to parse. You know, that doesn't quite roll off the tongue in quite the same way, is all I'm saying.
All right, well, thank you for taking the time to pod with us. I know you just flew in this morning. We're proud of you for that early ass flight. I like the way you do it.
Yeah, I gotta get out of there.
The blue eye.
Yeah.
Where were you coming from?
I was coming last night. I was in Philly, but I started last week in Rhode Island. I went to Rhode Island, then I did a couple of nights in Boston. Then I did Buffalo, which was like Buffalo. I thought that was like The Last of Us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great up there.
It was like just desolate. I'm like, where are the people? Where?
Buffalo. You know? So Buffalo didn't show out for you is what you're saying.
You know what? People drove in from Canada. Like some people came, but I mean, just walking the streets, like I could walk like 15 city blocks and not see a single soul.
Yeah,
it's
not even the middle of winter or anything like so bad.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. It's a beautiful day. It's 80 degrees. It's Mother's Day. Where are the
they're at brunch. You know they're at brunch. Come on now.
But yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time. Hope you had fun.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
So wait, do you guys know the listener that made me?
No.
I mean, I don't know her personally, but I've sent a few messages back and forth on Instagram.
Okay.
But I don't know how I had seen, I don't know where I came across you, but that's when I had DM'd you like a year ago.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, she's super funny. We should have her How Long Gone. And then you did not respond or open that message. But then, you know, somehow we made it here. So I really appreciate
even though
that.
He is verified, he has to check.
Yeah,
he
said, I'm verified. Eh. Like, did you not, like, what do you not
I'm
understand?
Not going to click on this little peanut head ass right now and open this whole ass DM.
not again. Because if I click, he's going to see that.
I didn't even, like, I don't even, like, there's so many messages.
Okay, all right, relax. Okay, we know.
I'm with you. It's a full-time job replying to these goddamn DMs,
and then
right?
Something like Instagram hides it. You know what I'm saying? And so when the girl, when she, I think her name is Diana or Deanna, something like that, right? And she hit me and I was like, what? I went and searched And that's when I saw your message. And then I looked and I was like, oh my God, this was like a year ago. Like you said, you know? And then
I look at it as a blessing because it allowed me to kind of follow you, understand your material, get to know you a little bit so that when the day finally came for us to
record. We didn't deserve you a year ago is what we're saying.
Exactly. We had to earn it and you made us work for it. And honestly, I
went back and got my master's. I lost 10 pounds.
Okay. Before I go, right, people tell me this all the time when I do their podcast. They're like, oh, you're not like how you are on stage, or you're not like how I thought you were going to be. So am I how you guys thought I would be?
No, I think it's good that you have a little bit of a different persona. Obviously, every comedian has their onstage character that they do, and then their real life person. When they're starkly different, it's a little jarring, where you're like, maybe you're like a sociopath.
Yeah.
But when it's like 100% that person all the time, it's also like exhausting.
Yeah, exhausting.
And I think you do a good job of being like, I'm regular, I'm a normal human being.
Yeah.
I'll get my jokes in. But on stage, you know, it's dialed in and I'm there for a reason. I'm going to do my job. So I think you do a good job of that. Acting like a human being for a comedian.
Best of both worlds, R. Kelly and Jay-Z. You know what I mean?
Don't like that reference, but okay.
What R. Kelly song should I play on the outro as the episode's kind of ending? Don't worry. There's so many. I'll pick one.
There's so many. They're still on streaming services. Don't worry if you have a wedding coming up or something.
All right. Yeah, but this will be out tomorrow.
Okay.
So we'll see you. We'll see you in the DMs. You got to write back, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. Jewels dip, Santana set, set, grip, nigga tech, text, it's Santana, what, dip, set, dip, set, what, Jewels dip, Santana set, set, when you grip, nigga tech, text, who you with,